It's the Koshcast putting you on blast like Wolfsburg did Leverkusen in the first half. More from the Bundesliga later. It was FA Cup weekend in England, and while Stoke got knocked out by the King, Moreno became a dancing queen as Liverpool beat Crystal Palace. Meanwhile, Middlesbrough couldn't handle it as Arsenal pressed them, and United faced Preston. There's a European roundup. Moyes still can't win a game. Milan still can't win a game. Podolski lasts 90 minutes without collapsing, and Dortmund make mincemeat out of their opposition. It's all going on. Join us for a while, we'll leave you with a smile.
Alright, welcome.
I thought I was doing it this week.
Again, if you want.
Yeah, I would love to.
Are you sure?
You okay?
As you were, one of you.
How is everyone doing today, guys?
Birdie. I'm a little bit confused by this introduction, but I'm okay. I'm alright.
I'm liking this a lot more already.
Yeah, equally slightly disconcerted.
That was the voice of Alex.
Sure, I believe we're all just going to talk over each other today, so I'm totally fine with that.
I can be very loud.
So far, no one's talking over me, so it's okay.
Far too much respect. We're in your house.
Can't hear you.
Well, we are in your house now, so we might as well show you some respect.
Yes, I have created a new recording studio, and I'm glad you guys are here to share this moment with me.
It was right.
What do you record here when it's not the podcast?
Our podcast.
What else? I mean, you got to use it for something else.
Well, you know, is this PG? Prepare in advance.
Is it PG to talk about?
I'm just asking him a question.
It's clearly not used to guests because we haven't been offered.
It's a secret, you know. I'll just keep it.
Rache, we haven't been offered. We haven't been offered tea, soft drinks, water. We haven't been offered anything.
A time will come
where you are offered tea in my house.
When the offerings will be made.
All right, that's awesome, guys. moving on. Let's go back a bit. Let's rewind a bit to midweek. There's a couple of good games usually. That's the DeLorean there.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Usually we don't go back to midweek, but there were some pretty good games in the Premier League. Liverpool, Tottenham. That was a big one. Tottenham coming off that North London derby win against Arsenal. Wanted to keep the momentum going. Had a really good game, actually. Not bad at all. Ended 3-2 to Liverpool at the end with a bit of drama there.
Tottenham were riding their luck a fair bit in that game. I mean, they put in a lot of effort, as you would expect, but there wasn't much rotation after the North London derby. This was 3 days later? And it was pretty much the same team that played. So I'm not really surprised that they couldn't last the pace.
Well, you know what, Alex? At the same time, both these teams were form teams coming into this game. If you look at the Premier League's form table right now, Liverpool's actually first in the last 8 games. Correct. They are leading the pack. Mm-hmm. And then Tottenham is somewhere up there as well. But both teams came to this game and had an absolute classic. 3-2 final score. Balotelli, the scapegoat of Liverpool's season so far, mm-hmm. has actually bagged the points.
Apparently the penny has dropped, according to Brendan Rodgers. And maybe that's the case. I thought it was a very exciting game, like between two teams that, and I don't usually say it's about Tottenham, but two teams that actually came out to play and ended up with a good result, and now Mario has a goal and hopefully he kicks it on from here, I guess.
Yeah, so I mean, a very important 3 points for Liverpool. They're trying to get in that top four and maybe better. I mean, you never know.
Nah.
I mean, look, for me the revival has started when they started becoming much more solid in the back. Brendan Rodgers has figured out his back three. Skrtel, Emre Can, and Sako have been playing.
Are you sure it's the back four revival, or is it that Sturridge has come out in front?
No. I truly believe Sako has had an incredible month or two
except
now.
Except for when he showed his best Gerrard impression.
Yeah.
But he also just got injured, did he not? He broke a rib.
Right, but he kept on playing, so I don't know.
Yeah. So, you know, it's about time, because Sako was the captain of PSG.
Yeah.
Like, you know, obviously he got shifted out because of Thiago Silva, but he's supposed to be a class player,
yeah.
and it took him a while to show that, and now he's injured, so it's a bit of a shame.
He has no right to be on the ball whatsoever, but off the ball he's great.
Yeah,
heading it away,
true.
Kicking it away, but other than that, you know, don't give him the ball. But yeah, so like we said, Liverpool important 3 points. Tottenham, I think they would have been happy at 2-2 with the draw. Being away and everything, but there was also the Everton Chelsea game, which was what Mourinho described as one of those hard 1-0s that you need in every winning season, and apparently this was one of those for him.
It's an annoying result for if you're not a Chelsea fan, because you start to see that they are going to win the league, and whenever you're going to win the league, you always have that last minute. Like, every team has that last minute winner, and everyone goes nuts. It's like, you can't win the league by just beating everyone 5-0. You have to have those cagey games, and then everyone goes, that's the moment where they won the
mm-hmm.
league. And this is probably it now.
Yeah, you know what? Willian threaded the eye of the needle with his finish.
Yeah.
And on another day, that would not have gone in.
Yeah, he got a bit lucky. There was a deflection there. Tim Howard was rooted to the spot.
See, he did get a bit lucky with that one, but I like how he's reacted to the sign of Cuadrado by just shooting on sight.
Yeah.
It's like he's got a little something in his head going, fire at Will! It's like just any time he gets an opportunity, he's having a crack.
And Will is standing there going, why are you shooting the ball at me?
Apparently, Chelsea players were accused of bullying the referee into making decisions in this game. Obviously, Roberto Martinez is the one making the statement after the game because he's the loser.
Well, but also, we saw what Ivanovic did. Ivanovic, he chokehold of McCarthy, I think it was. And then he headbutted him while chokeholding.
Like, it was a hell of a bear hug.
It was
Mexes-esque.
Yeah.
Really? Or was it Charlie Adam-esque?
I don't know. Has Charlie Adam done a head? Oh, yeah, he did do that.
Yeah. He's in a class of his own, though, Charlie Adam. Yeah. But I just feel that, Vanish escaped, FA action.
Yeah.
So I think this whole Mourinho, they're against me thing, maybe they're balancing the books if you want to be a controversy theorist. Or conspiracy theorist, rather.
Yeah. After the game, Mourinho was asked three times by three different reporters about the Ivanovic incident. The first time he said, it's unbelievable that you're even bringing this up, it was nothing. The next two times he said, I'm not talking about it, and walked out. He is so good at this, at protecting his players. He's brilliant. Yeah. Like, not even an answer. He said, that doesn't even warrant me
to
say
anything. He actually praised the officials for their decision making. Yeah. And I thought, you've been on these guys the entire season because he's trying to rile up his players and give them this us against the world mentality, which is great and all. He's a master at doing that. But then you can see the hypocrisy, right?
True.
Yeah, why anyone takes anything he says seriously, I really have no idea.
No. City are the runners-up. They're trying to keep as much pressure on Chelsea as possible. If they had lost their game against Tokyo, it would have been 10 points or something off the pace. Because they're 7 right now, or are they 5? Something like that.
They're still dropping points. They're not doing a very good job of keeping pressure on them.
Well, that's true, but with the draw against Hull and everything. But this weekend they did. In midweek, they did do well. They beat Stoke 4-1 away.
After being a goal down as well.
After being a goal down from Peter Crouch. It was finding a really nice
scoreline, though. Just a little bit flatter.
It is. But Nasri had a man of the match performance coming back from injury. He played very well. Aguero back on the score sheet. I think after like a ridiculous amount of minutes without a goal.
Yeah, for him.
Yeah. Overall, straightforward win once they came back from that goal down.
Good time. Crouchy is on fire, though, isn't he?
He is.
Crabtree?
Yeah.
Really? Who? Crouchy.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought he said Crabtree.
I thought he said Crabtree as well. Crabtree.
I was like, why are you even talking
about
this?
No.
But okay.
Random Simpsons reference.
Peter Crouch is in a good run of form, and I like him as a player. I really do. I think he just brings that physical ability, but also he has a good touch. He can finish.
And this in the week where we learnt that Theo Walcott and the Arsenal lads call Nacho Monreal Crouchy because he kind of looks a bit like him.
I don't know. There's only one Crouch.
There's
only one horse falling down the stairs. Isn't that right, Bernie?
That was, to give people context, we're watching that UEFA top 50 Champions League goals, which was in 2010 or something. Right. And number 50 was Peter Crouch's bicycle kick, I think against Galatasaray or something.
Yep.
And the guy literally said, watching Peter Crouch do that was like watching a horse fall down the stairs. And I died. I couldn't handle it because the image of a horse... I mean, actually, this is really bad to say. Because we like horses, right?
Yeah, we do.
No, we
love horses. Hard by the creation of this image.
But he was right in the sense that like Crouch does look a bit uncoordinated when he kicks the ball, but he still manages to pull it off every single time.
Very true.
He does.
What a gift he has.
Yep. Him and his wife both look very uncoordinated, to be honest. Both skinny and really tall.
Oh, I thought you can say coordinated because he looks ugly and she's hot.
Oh, as a couple?
I was on that same wavelength.
Guys, what happened this weekend, though, the main important thing was the FA Cup. But before moving on to that, we wrote an article recently, Alex did, on the blog about the new £5.1 billion TV deal that the Premier League are getting next year.
Yeah.
It's insane. To put it in perspective, the team that gets last and relegated next season walks away with $100 million.
Yeah.
It's insane.
One week's worth of Premiership coverage is more than
Eredivisie,
the whole season.
The whole season.
It's mental. It's absolutely insane. And this is just domestic. This is before the.
There's another three billion.
So billion
another,
foreign
yeah.
networks.
I mean, it adds fuel to the fire there of when people will say that the Premier League is the best league in the world. You can start saying, hey, that is because people want to watch this league. You can at least make that argument on that.
That's
on that
true.
Scale.
I think part of the argument is also that, let's say, a channel like Sky Sports, which is British, the economy helps. They're a rich channel that can pay that amount of money. If the La Liga or Serie A are really good and better than the Premier League, I don't think anyone there can pay that money anyways.
I mean, yes, because there's Sky Italia and Sky, like, yeah, they're all in Spain and all that. But what's really interesting about this is you can't even get these games on TV in England. Unless you're watching Sky or BT, and they're expensive. Who the hell wants to
do that? That's why you pay $5.
We don't have to deal with that. We get the games all the time. We get more games than they do.
I get the games for like $17 a month. I'm contributing to the $5.
Please tell us all about your package deal afterwards.
But I mean, the point here is that it becomes a vicious cycle. The money goes into the clubs, and whereas it should lead to reduced ticket prices, it should lead to more investment in academies and grassroots, etc. The reality is the precedent is that the money goes to players, goes to agents, and the wages go up, and so they can justify not putting the ticket prices down because, oh look, now you're paying to see him, and you're paying to see him, and these are the best players in the world, they're being paid more, so we need to keep the revenue from
but
the
fans. Exactly what it is. It's about getting the best players to come, attracting the best talent, and then the fans will pay more for that best talent.
Well, right, but that's not the way it should go.
Yeah.
And not to mention, it also leads to a concentration of all of the best talent in one country. Like, we're seeing it now. When Hull can spend $50 million and start signing players from Serie A, there's an issue. When Burnley are a wealthier club than Ajax, the landscape is not healthy.
True. Luckily,
well, at the same time, in the last couple of years, we saw Madrid and Barcelona have a monopoly on all the best players. Xavi, Iniesta, Ramos, Ronaldo, Messi. They had all the best players.
Well, three of those.
Well, they always will because they own their own TV rights, so they make all the money there. That's fine.
But
it's the rest of the league. It's the Moisia dads of this. Of
at least the Premier League have a more equal TV deal. Even though it's a lot, it's at least more equal. It's what happens in La Liga is discussed.
No, absolutely. The way that the Premier League distributes that money between the Premier League teams is way better.
Yeah.
Way more equal.
It's honestly, there's a much more functional economy in England than there is in the rest of Europe. We could get into the economics of the whole thing, but I'd rather focus on football right now.
I agree.
Yeah, I'm not. Yeah, okay.
well said, Roshay. Well said. Keeping us on track.
All right, so let's go back to the FA Cup for Roshay's pleasure. Villa versus Leicester.
Yeah.
No one would have talked about that game except that now Villa has signed Sherwood and he managed his first win from the stands.
Yeah.
2-1.
His celebration was, I don't know, it looked like some burglar had got away with like a small petty crime.
Yeah.
Is that how you would celebrate if you jacked a TV from someone's house?
It was like
your whole body vibrates and bleeds.
If that was an image, the caption would have been
It's like a five-year-old that opens his present and like got the thing that he wanted, like a Power Ranger, you know? Like he just got what he wanted.
Yeah.
I love that.
Exactly.
Is that what you wanted growing up? A Power Ranger?
At 5, 6, probably.
Yeah. Well, sure. Let's be real.
Really? Which one?
Sherwood got what he wanted. He got a win in his first game as quote-unquote manager.
The thing is, what I see is, as a new manager, you want your team to still be in the FA Cup. Right. Imagine, like, the first game in, sorry, bro, that's one less tournament to compete in, you know? It'd suck. But, again, he got hired to a club that really wants to, like, the owners will really want to sell the club. It's basically stay in the Premier League so I can sell the club at the end of the season.
What could happen to Sherwood here is what happened to Mark Hughes. It could happen because they change ownership. The guy, let's just imagine some rich Qatari guy buys Aston Villa, and then he goes, you know what, Sherwood, you're not the continental guy that I really want to hire. Gets rid of him, brings in, I don't know, Mancini.
Villa is the continental club that he wanted to buy.
Well, was Man City the continental club? Like, Sheikh Mansour wanted to buy, I doubt it. But
at the same time, to be fair, Aston Villa is one of the more decorated clubs, like, with a lot of history in English football.
Yeah,
so I could see someone buying them.
By the way,
just like Man City, restoring them to their quote-unquote place.
Just really quickly, I think the main reason why City is a viable club and a good investment is because of Man United.
Yes.
Like, well, it's because that rivalry is there. It's Everton is a good club to buy because of Liverpool, not standalone.
But they also had, City at the time also had the Olympic Stadium, which they just moved into, which makes a massive difference because you don't have to pay to build a new one.
This is true.
The problem is now that no foreign owner, a billionaire owner, has bought a team since FFP came in. And that seriously reduces the amount that they can do in the first year or two that they buy the club. Like, they can't just come in like Abramovich did, like Sheikh Mansour did, and spend $200 million if they can't produce the revenue.
Yeah, that's true. That's a fair point, yeah.
All right, guys.
At the same time, guys, we forgot to talk about the actual game itself.
Oh, no, that was it. It was just basically 2-1 Villa.
It was a bit of dross, right?
No, but
Aston scored a good goal.
Aston Villa scored two open play goals.
Correct.
And there was a beautiful header by
Kramaric
after a cross from...
Is this the second goal for Aston now?
Bernie, who assisted? I love it.
That's Jeffrey Schlupp.
Yeah. There was also the battles of the Wests. West Brom and West Ham.
West Side.
It was 4-0 to the West Broms. And
got Berahino'd, son. Actually, it was a brownie day.
Wow.
A day.
Wow. Very nice. Okay. You know, on that note, now that you've brought him up, I would just want to mention that Brownie Day made an incredible scoop on Kevin Lowe.
Scoop nutmeg.
Yeah, scoop nutmeg. It was beautiful, yeah.
Just the way that the foot caressed the ball in one motion was so elastic.
It was smooth.
Perfect.
Basically.
It was perfect.
Correct, correct. So, yeah, that's a very weird scoreline for West Ham to lose 4-0. I mean, it's not like they had a weakened side.
They're going through a bad run of form, West Ham. They've dropped off.
Ever since Longball Gate, I don't think he's been able to recover there.
Well, Carroll's out for the rest of the season. Sacco and Valencia stopped scoring. I think Valencia hasn't scored in like 7 or 8 games or something.
Yeah.
Allardyce has just lost it a little bit. He's lost his way.
Well, we'll talk about Allardyce and his genius.
Well, it's also a rejuvenated West Brom they're coming up against. You know, new manager effect still in play.
Correct. Tony Pulis.
Yeah.
Is okay. At
the guy's
this point,
incredible.
At this point, he's a genius.
Yeah.
Can we say that about the guy?
Come on,
everywhere he goes,
you
he makes it happen.
Never get relegated. Unbelievable.
I don't disagree that he's clearly a brilliant manager. But did you guys see the thing about him getting prank called this week?
No. Yeah, I did see that.
Pretend to be Neil Lennon.
Yeah. Some Northern Irish guy just pretended to be Neil Lennon.
I called him.
Asked for a guy on loan, and Pulis bought it hook, line, and sinker. But he did come across as a totally nice bloke.
I gotta be fair. I didn't enjoy that prank call. It could have been better. You know, he didn't give away that it was a prank call, and we also don't know that that was actually Tony Pulis. Could have been some guy who just sounded like Tony Pulis.
Richey is the authority on prank calls.
Correct.
You just have to let everyone know about
correct.
It.
Sorry, correct.
I'm sorry. I need proof. I need a contract to see that it was actually Tony Pulis on the phone.
Okay. There was also Crystal Palace Liverpool. I love every time Crystal Palace at Liverpool play. Everyone has a little fun with the whole Christenbull stuff and the 3-3 from last season or whatever. Liverpool came up with a 2-1 win. This is where, again, what's his name came on and played really well.
Balotelli.
Sturridge scored, Lallana scored, and they're looking good. They're looking solid at the back.
That Sturridge goal was
beautiful.
Really good. Reminiscent of Van Persie, Song kind of things, you know? Except
true.
Henderson.
I'll tell you guys, like, the second Sturridge has come back into this team, that team looks alive again.
Mm-hmm.
They're outscoring
their opponents. Coutinho's also playing really well.
Yeah.
Sterling didn't play that game, but Sterling's also on form. On paper, they don't have a bad team at all.
Oh, of course not.
Yeah, and it'd be interesting to see how Markovic fits
Jordan
in the system.
Well, he's captain. He has to play now.
Yeah, true.
That's their fault, that one. They're stuck with him now forever.
What do you guys think of Moreno joining in on the Sturridge dance bandwagon?
I don't like it.
I think that's an utter disgrace. Absolutely offside, mate. Why? Why are you messing that up? We all know it's Daniel Sturridge. We want
to
see him do his little jig.
Don't mess it up.
To
be fair, Sturridge invited him to join.
Also,
then Sturridge was
I was really upset. I was really upset at how bad a Spaniard is at dancing. He looked really robotic. Usually the Spaniards are like flowy, they go with the music.
Yeah,
this
but
one
they're
looked...
good at Spanish dancing. I don't know what Sturridge's dance is.
But like, it's not like this is salsa. If he has to dance to salsa, it probably won't end right.
I was going to say it wasn't bad for a white boy, but
yeah. Glad someone took.
Have you seen Moreno jump? The last game of the Epic Cup was Arsenal Middlesbrough. A very easy game for Arsenal.
Yeah.
Pretty straightforward. Not a lot of action.
One-way traffic. 2-0.
Drew
pretty
having a great game.
Two sublime finishes.
Two beautiful finishes.
That's a sign of a good striker, by the way, might I add. That volley off the corner.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about timing.
Drew's all about the signs of being a good striker, to be honest. Ozil at number 10.
Claude will tell you that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Ozil at number 10 was phenomenal, I'd say. It was an easy game, yes, but you can see the difference in the quality that he brings to the team at number 10 compared to...
I don't even know what you mean by number 10. I thought he was everywhere.
But
Sanchez, and Cazorla were just...
It was fluid.
And you know who did a better job at number 10? Cazorla with his beautiful pass out wide for the first goal.
Well, they help each other out.
Vision, you know.
Cazorla was actually the linchpin of the central midfield. I mean, Flamini was holding. Cazorla was everywhere.
You mean pointing.
Pointing. Yeah, there was one point he missed the ball and then pointed at someone else to come get it. That was good. But Cazorla honestly ran the show. It was very impressive.
Richey, you had a stat about the Arsenal's first goal.
I think, yes, the whole team touched the ball.
All 11.
All of them. Szczesny passed out to defend a little tiki-taka, you know, and then...
That's not a bad stat. Me and Alex were watching it together and we said this is reminiscent of Arsene Wenger old style, but we haven't seen it in a long time, this tippy-tappy...
It's probably worth mentioning that on the form table in the last 8 games played, so you have Liverpool played 8, 20 points, and you have Arsenal played 8, I think they have 18 points.
Yep.
So they're second.
The
in
only slip
table.
Up in the last 8 games
right?
was Tottenham, that's
mm-hmm.
it.
Yeah,
I mean, that one's things, obviously, but...
I thought Karanka said something weird afterwards. He was asked, because the Middlesbrough performance, you know, they haven't lost in 20 games in the Championship. They just beat Manchester City, very impressive team, and then they were useless. today, and Karanka said that his players underestimated Arsenal, that they thought it would have been easier because Manchester City, they did so well against City.
You know what?
He's got to protect his players.
That sounds very idiotic, and I think that sets us up perfectly for Move of the Week.
Yeah.
Move of the Week.
Of the Week.
All right, so I think Bernie and Alex have a couple for us this week. Looking forward to those guys. Who wants to go first?
This one excites me. The rejuvenated left wing back, Ashley Young, dropped some knowledge on us.
Dropped some knowledge.
So he was asked recently, who is the best defender you've ever played against? And, you know, names like for me come to mind, Rio Ferdinand in training
Terry,
or something, or John Terry on the other side.
Ivanovic.
Exactly, even Branislav Ivanovic or something like that.
I mean, bear in mind, he's played in the Champions League for Manchester United.
Exactly.
He's also played in a World Cup.
You know, really?
Hasn't he?
Not sure.
Well, qualifiers at least. Okay. European Championships.
Well, let's just say he plays for Man United, so he should come up against some good guys. He said that the toughest person he's ever played against is Wes Brown. And they never trained together, so we're not talking about when Wes Brown was kind of good at United.
Yeah.
We're talking about
Sunderland Wes Brown. More about how bad Ashley Young is.
Yes, it does.
Than how good Wes Brown is.
He said that he always gave me a tough time and it was very difficult to get past him. Of course it is when you're playing on the left and doing your one move all the time and never hit a man with a cross.
I know, I just think we can't take face value, you know, the words spoken by bald men these days.
Wow.
What is
you
that?
Are a baldist. Okay, Mohamed, in 10 years you're done. So.
I know, I can't be friends with Shane.
Ashley Young dropped the knowledge like that bird dropped the knowledge on him.
Yay!
All right, next up is Phil Brown. You guys remember Phil Brown?
Rochet didn't.
Ex-Hull manager. He was the one that got them all out on the pitch and berated them in front of their fans.
That's right. Yes,
yeah.
I thought it was Phil Bird.
The guy who was like really
Phil Bird.
Yeah.
Bird Brown.
He could get like a kind of honorary moo-moo for that from years ago.
Just for
but
being
unfortunately,
orange.
Unfortunately, he's done something else. So the other day, I think it was after a decent West Ham result, he referred to Sam Allardyce as a statistical genius. Don't even know what that means. Statistical genius. And
that means he's really good at stats. Like,
maybe.
Makes no sense.
The image that comes to my mind is that Sam Allardyce is sitting on a computer doing some mad coding. Just running through data sets of players and like writing formal reports.
He's just really good at FM.
It's like putting together like gravy ingredients.
Or his long ball percentage is really great.
Yeah, yeah, something like that.
He probably used the same report that Louis van Gaal handed him.
Probably. Full quote. Sam Allardyce is a statistical genius. He is as good as Arsene Wenger, if not better.
Wow.
Wait, is Phil Brown relevant right
no.
now? What is he doing
BBC
right now?
To talk
you know, it's quite possible that Allardyce actually paid him to say this statement because Phil Brown is probably going bankrupt.
You know what I think? I don't think he said the name Allardyce. I think he said Allardyce is as good as Wenger. Because when that's a different person altogether, right?
Samuele Allardyce.
Arriba! Let's move to Spain.
Christ.
Hey, come on, guys. You gotta...
Showing some flair.
Yeah, I'll show some flair. A little bit of this, a little bit of that. Anyways. Alex is a drummer, if anyone doesn't know. He's actually a
drummer. Where's Moreno? Why isn't he dancing?
You gotta put coins in the back. guys, in Spain, there's a couple of good games this week. Madrid Deportivo. Ronaldo's going through a crisis of form, not scoring in 3 games, which is unseen and unheard of.
To be fair, he played like garbage, but he got a lucky assist to Benzema, which wasn't even meant to be an assist in the first place. But
I
he'll
thought
take
it was more than 3 games. Wow,
yeah.
Okay.
Unfortunately
yeah.
for Madridistas, the worst player they've ever seen in their lives, Gareth Bale, popped up with another goal.
Yeah, another... No, he didn't, actually.
What?
To be fair, he didn't. It was Benzema and Isco.
Oh, wait,
and
Bale scored in the game before that.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, that's also a big chance.
Yeah, true.
Isco's goal. I was watching it live. The ball came up to him, and I was like, that's it. He's just going to curl his baby into the side netting, and he does.
You fainted like a helpless Spanish maiden.
Oh, my God.
You know what, Mahat? You did not feel the same way. You did not feel the same way about Carlos Bacuna's goal, which was identical, if not better.
That's because his name is Leandro.
I'm in the league.
If it was Carlos, he really would have been like,
oh, sorry,
sorry,
yes, that's right. I think Carlos Baca.
Leandro is like
Leandro
Portuguese,
Bacuna.
And Mahat doesn't like the Portuguese.
Yeah.
Okay.
What?
Well, Isco is very close. Isco is actually very close to Portuguese. He's Spanish.
Yeah, but
the Iberian Peninsula.
But regardless of the geography lesson, the point is, it was brilliant. Benzema, again, scoring goals. Very important to the team. Like, we've talked about this endlessly. So, Madrid keep their spot at the top of the table, 57 points.
Question.
Yes.
Irina Shayk left Cristiano Ronaldo, or he left her, whatever the gossip mongers want to say. He doesn't score for 3 games.
Answer.
Is he suffering from a broken heart?
Answer. I think it is directly correlated.
Bernie, why do you say it in that voice? It's like, is he suffering from a broken heart? If so, call this hotline.
Have you suffered from a broken heart at work recently?
Valentine's Day, that's right. Oh my god.
Oh, it was Valentine's Day.
It was Valentine's Day.
Exactly.
Ronaldo's lonely.
Seriously.
All alone is a cryogenic thing.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, guys, moving on from Ronaldo's personal life, which pops up every podcast. Barcelona beat Levante 5-0.
Yeah.
Barca are back to the old 4-3-0, 5-0 games. Easy peasy, Japanese, no problem. Messi, 3 goals. Neymar, another.
His steady relationship really helps him.
Exactly. Exactly. It's a nice family.
Beautiful. Consistent performances by Messi. Now he's overtaken Ronaldo in goals and assists with the same number of appearances.
Assists, we all knew that.
He's also broken two other records.
Yes.
He beat, what's his name?
Dan Mazzara
again. Two more. Well, he beat his hat-trick record. 31 hat-tricks.
He's equaled
now.
It with 31 hat-tricks,
right,
in La Liga.
And he beat Figo's all-time assists in La Liga.
Since they started collecting stats 25 years ago.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Since Sam Allardyce started collecting stats.
PhD.
But guys, we cannot gloss over Suarez's beautiful left-footed sidekick. It was
beautiful.
For someone who's in a quote-unquote bad form, it's a brilliant goal.
And like
Bernie says, it's a confidence
it's
game.
Like a dog
he might
with rabies falling down the stairs.
Yes, that's the theme of today's podcast.
It's probably worth mentioning that Barcelona are actually looking like they're getting stronger game by game.
Correct.
Now.
Correct.
And another 5 goals flying in today. Real Madrid slightly tailing off, and now there's only a 1-point difference. So that next Clasico, whenever it comes up, is going to be a title deciding game, quote unquote.
I tell you what, it's actually really interesting. We've got the Champions League coming up. And Barcelona have Manchester City. And I remember us discussing it a few months ago, and at the time, City were flying.
Oh,
yeah. It was banging them in, and we all thought, you know what, City have a chance here. Barcelona weren't playing very well. Now, flip reverse it. And because Barcelona just looked like they'd walk all over Manchester City.
Correct.
Clichy
and Zabaleta are going to get the lesson of their lives if Barca keep this up. Neymar, Suarez, on the left, Messi on the right, they're going to dominate these guys.
Yeah, I agree.
We'll see how it goes. But yeah, I'm really looking forward to that Champions League.
Mm-hmm.
It's been too long.
Can't wait for it to start, yeah.
Atleti, unfortunately, do not want to make it a 3-horse race. More animals, aww. They fell down the stairs this weekend by losing to Celta Vigo. I think it ended 2-0.
Who loses to Celta Vigo, honestly?
To be fair, Celta Vigo have had some good goal scorers popping up over the course of the season. Mr. Nolito, underrated player.
Yeah, but you can't just go and brush aside Real Madrid and then just fall down the stairs like you said against Celta Vigo.
they pulled an absolute Peter Crouch, didn't they?
So yeah, like right now they're quite far. They're 50 points only. They're 6 and 7 away from Barca and Madrid.
That might as well be 20 points at this point.
Forget
it.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Guys, you know who Celta Vigo means to me?
Mm-mm.
Valerie Karpin and Alexander Mostoboy.
Oh, beautiful references, Championship Manager 2000.
I was going to say, they were brilliant. But I thought you were going to make a pun, so I was bracing myself for it, and they didn't come. So.
Did they also have Roy Mackay back in the day?
Sorry?
Roy Mackay?
Roy Mackay. Yeah, Roy Mackay was great.
No, that was
Roy Mackay was like another like Van Nistelrooy kind of thing, just banging goals, stats guy. Another Allardyce kind of.
Yeah,
an early Baz Dost, if anything.
Ooh. Ah, let's get to that. But
oh,
first,
we'll get to that,
let's do some scouting.
Okay. Wigan Athletic.
Really used to like the Munter Martinez. Beautiful, great, historic rugby team. But now they have a racist manager. So I'm pretty much hoping they get relegated from the championship.
It looks like they will too.
Spaghetti, cappuccino, Ferrari. Guess where we are right now, guys?
Italy.
Yeah.
The tourist board.
So, our tour of Italy starts... very nice. Arturo Vidal of Italy starts in Palermo, who beat Napoli 3-1. I don't know why, to be honest.
They felt like it. They wanted to.
I don't know why Napoli...
They probably play better.
Yeah.
That's what happens.
That's a fair assumption.
But he just must have made a heavy meal for the rest of his team.
just Napoli not getting the 3 points, falling down rankings a bit.
It could be a case of, remember when Sven-Goran Eriksson announced he was going to be England manager and then Lazio went to ship?
Mm-hmm.
It could be a bit like that. Everyone knows Benitez is leaving at the end of the season.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the players just don't care.
Where will he go?
He really wants to come back to England.
Aston Villa?
He really does.
The way
Van Gaal is like going after all the managers, I would love to see another Van Gaal, like another Man U Liverpool Van Gaal Benitez path.
Okay, I'm sorry. When you said Van Gaal, I was like, are you going to suggest that Benitez will manage Manchester Rubbish United right now?
That would be great.
Oh my god.
That was just that game. There was also Fiorentina Sassuolo.
Yeah.
Fiorentina winning 3-1, and my boy Salah.
Say it properly.
Salah.
Salah.
Mohamed Salah.
Yeah. No, this is actually a very good win for Fiorentina because Sassuolo have been handing out beatings lately.
True.
Against big teams too. But Fiorentina just handled them, man.
Correct, correct. And a very, very good win for them there. Roma again. They drew 0-0 to last placed Parma.
Absolute garbage by Roma at home too. At this point, it's just like, why do you
bother? Gervinho's back as well. And for some reason, he came out, like the coach, and said, we're not dependent on Gervinho.
I should hope not.
That's just, yeah.
Seriously.
I mean, that's evident.
Because you know Gervinho...
They're not dependent on any of their front line.
You know Gervinho will turn his back on you.
Oh, yeah.
Very
yeah.
good.
Well, I like it.
Speaking of which, Dumbia started his first game for Roma, I think. Was ineffective.
Well, yeah.
First game, we'll give him that.
Yeah.
But it was funny because Garcia actually said, I don't think we were trying to score. Like, that's an interesting way to just jab the players, isn't it?
I know Roma started the strikerless thing a few years ago, but like, come on.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how Seydou Doumbia does over the course of the season.
Richie loves his name. Seydou Doumbia. So, Cesena and Juve.
Yeah.
Isn't Cesena like a
How
name of a plane?
How much did you enjoy saying the word Cesena?
That's the thing. It sounds like that those planes that you start in the flight simulator. A Cesena?
A Cesna.
A Cesna. Yeah, that. Anyways,
I could be wrong.
That's the first thing. No, it is. That's the first thing that comes to mind. So, Cesna flew away with a drew here.
flew away with a drew?
Okay, guys. No. Okay, so Juventus dropped 2 points in this game, primarily because Arturo Vidal missed an 82nd minute penalty that could have run away with the points. You know, could have been 3-2.
Look on your face. This seems very personal.
I mean, it is kind of Juventus' best defense. You know, they get 2-3 points every week. This is Juventus.
Which is hating.
His hatred for Juventus goes back to his childhood.
We're talking about Juventus in Italy. I mean, it's a win.
Yeah. Well, you should like, Vidal or not, you shouldn't
just give them the trophy.
Vidal or not, you shouldn't concede 2 goals. You really shouldn't. And
that's
I mean,
true.
The goal scorers were Morata and Marchisio, which is out of the ordinary for them. Which shows that Eminem, which shows that. Their big players weren't on form.
Seen a couple rumors this week about Real Madrid wanting to exercise their option to buy Morata back, you reckon?
Why?
No, they have Hesse. Hesse is twice the player Morata is.
Hey, I agree, I'm just saying.
Okay. Atalanta losing 1-4 to Inter. And Inter finally getting some goals on the sheet there. Podolski playing, like Alex said, 90 minutes.
Yeah, it survived.
Yeah.
Well, on the pitch he survived. He might have gone into a coma afterwards or something.
Let's be fair, he was playing in the Italian league, pedestrian sort of tempo compared to the English Premier League.
Yeah, I would expect the Podolski, who couldn't even walk in the Premier League, to walk all over the Serie A, but he's clearly just disabled.
I don't know.
Sure.
Anyway, that was the first thing that came to mind.
Wow.
I'm just
We're not going to proceed further.
It was made easier for him this week by the fact that he played up front. In a front two, so he didn't have to kind of patrol the wing or anything. Shaqiri played in behind them.
Mm-hmm.
Shaqiri also scored a penalty in that game. Very good for him. Freddy Guarín with 2.
Yeah, Guarín has his games. He really does. Like sometimes he looks average and sometimes he looks great. It's weird.
He can either look like Guarín or Garincha, depending on the week. You know.
Correct, correct.
Very good.
Very good.
I'm just looking at Alex and I'm loving him.
Like. Speaking, Roche, so of just giving the trophy... I mean, moving to the Bundesliga, to be fair. Bayern kind of scraped this one. 8-0 against Hamburg.
It was so tough.
It was
couldn't break them down.
It was a tight game. Yeah. I mean, they kept going at him, but it just wouldn't happen.
Two banks of four?
Johan Giroud was a wall that they couldn't break down.
Two banks of four goals.
It's so true.
Unbelievable.
So, yeah, Roche, you enjoyed Robin's goal.
I believe it was 6-0 after like 55 minutes in this game. So it's a shambles that they only finished with 8. But
you know Pep Guardiola's yelling.
That's real. So every time Arjen Robben gets the ball, it's almost like you're watching it in like two times. You know when you fast forward it and it's like 2x or 4x or whatever.
Yeah.
But Robben, whenever he's running with the ball, it looks like he's twitching. And for his, I think it was his second goal of the game, he receives a crossfield ball, immediately takes it in stride, just twitch, and then he finds his way to goal.
If anything, when you're watching Robin, you're always like worried that your flat screen TV has just messed up. It's just like it seems like the pixels just like...
You know, that's from all the years of his hamstring injuries. His legs, they're not normal now, so every time he runs, he's actually... It is his hamstring.
It's
is twitching.
Yeah.
In real
action. It's like he's got frog legs.
He looks like one of those pop and lock dancers to me. You know?
Froglebins. Rarian
Froglebins. What are you doing? Has Robin messed with your brain?
Anyway, so Götze scored like 2 as well or so. Müller scored 1 or 2. It was a great day at the office for everyone involved.
Question. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
But I'll let you answer it first. Are Bayern Munich tough to like?
Yeah. Yeah, I think any team that wins as much as Bayern do become tough to like.
Oh, come on. I mean, the Manchester United team, everyone loved them when they won everything, right? Yeah.
Everyone loved the Invincibles. Everyone loved Barca. Everyone loved...
To be fair, that United team actually was behind in a few games from time to time.
Roche, you're messing up my point.
Look, sure. The accuracy of the stats don't matter. He's making a point.
It's Bayern Munich. We all hate them. That's all we need to know.
The evil empire is Bayern Munich.
I don't hate them. I don't find them easy to like, no.
Yeah. Well, easy to like Dortmund.
Yes.
They won 4-2, coming, I think, back from like 1-0 or something down.
Yeah.
Very good game. Very good game. They played really well. They got that tempo back, that pressure back, which basically that's what Dortmund were lacking. They always will have the skill. That's never going to leave them with those players.
Coincidental with the signing of a new contract by the great one, Marco Reus.
Correct. So
the prodigal son of the Dortmund dynasty.
You can get more money for him in the summer now.
Well, at least now you can get 45 million as opposed to 20.
Mm-hmm. Very smart.
You guys think that's what's happening here?
I actually have a strange feeling Marco Reus won't leave.
Me too.
He seems... I mean, when he chastised Götze and, I think, and Lewandowski, and he didn't even shake their hands when they came, I think he... Maybe I want to believe. Maybe that's what it is. Well, but you don't really go that far unless you really feel you messed up.
I was in that camp until how bad Dortmund did this year, and I feel that might sway him to be like, okay, I'm not getting any younger... Let me get some Champions League football where, like... I mean, you never know. They still have the Champions League, guys. Like,
if but he won't leave they, for the money.
No, though. But they could beat Juve. You never know. You never know.
No, I think that's totally feasible. The other thing is, it's his hometown team, right?
Mm-hmm.
If he keeps up this form, he could become, like, the German Harry Kane.
You know what? I think...
Did he play for Bayern when he was, like, under 12?
No, to be fair to him, I think after the fan inquest, you can see that there's not many places in Europe that you could go that your team's doing that badly that the players are actually going to go to the fans and then, you know, say, okay, look, you know, we have been playing bad, and then come out and win the next two games.
It's a very fan-based club. That's true. Most clubs in Germany are, to be fair.
Yes.
Bayern are starting to slowly come out of that, but most clubs in Germany, one, they have huge stadiums with huge attendance. It's the best attended league in Europe.
Yep.
And they have such a close connection to their fans. Most of the clubs are owned like 50% by like just fans or whatever.
Right? Actually, I think they have to be a little.
Yeah.
You're right,
yeah.
Because Dortmund as a club actually have the second highest attendance stats in Europe. So yeah. They're always going to have the matchday revenue coming in. So it's not like they're running out of money or anything anytime soon. It doesn't matter what happens
which
to them.
Which calls into question to like something here, because their stadium is about 80,000,
yes.
And they fill it every game. And then you have the Bernabeu, you have which is 80,000, you have Camp Nou, which is like 90 or 100,000.
Yep, yep.
They can't even fit. I'm not saying it's an achievement to even get 80,000 people inside the new camp, but it's funny that, you know, these fans are the most committed fans you will find anywhere in Europe, and the players, they respect that, like, greatly. It's incredible.
True. I love that. That's to me what makes the Bundesliga really good, is that fan experience. It's one of the best. And like we said, guys, if we're thinking of going to like a Euro trip to do something like that, Germany is definitely a stop.
Mo is right now campaigning for Germany as part of our trip on the podcast so everyone can hear it.
It's official.
You know, this is great manipulation.
Thank you. But guys, the game of the week was definitely Wolfsburg versus Leverkusen. 5-4, super hat-trick by Bas Dawes.
He got four. Yeah.
Yeah.
Son got a hat-trick.
Yeah. I love Son.
Absolutely majestic game.
I think he's a great player.
Majestic game because it was also, I think, number two versus number three in the league tables.
Also, yeah. The guys that scored the hat-tricks, they did it in different ways. Son with the tricks and the flicks and the lovely curling finishes. And then Bas Dawes just took me back to the good old days of Ruud van Nistelrooy.
Yes, yep.
It was great to see, you know, two different ways like to play the striker.
Correct. Bas Dawes' goal were very much reliant on the brilliance of the assister. The brilliance. You saw, what's his name?
De Bruyne
down the wing doing the step over, was giving him a cross. So...
But
you're
his
right.
Movement was
of course.
Top class.
Owns the 6-yard box.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
This is Mario Gomez kind of thing with Bayern like two seasons ago. It was
Luca Toni.
You mean with Dortmund two seasons ago?
And Amari.
Okay, right. Let's be fair. Bas Dost looks like an absolute lethal predator right now. Probably the best striker through and through in Europe at the moment.
Ooh.
I'm going to say it.
Oh, you know what? Top Gear style. And on that bombshell, let's end the podcast.
Thank you for downloading the KoshCast. Get in touch at underthekoshblog@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter at under_thekosh. And for articles, predictions, and the full experience, go to underthekoshblog.com.